Morning. So it's Stewardship Sunday. No moaning yet. I was expecting a little moaning there. I moaned all week long trying to figure out what in the world I was going to talk about. I'm actually going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to start by reading one of my favorite children's books to you. It'll only take a couple of minutes. And then I'm going to share a few other things with you. And then hopefully we'll get the bulk of the message maybe in our discussion afterwards. So let me read to you The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come. I thought I was going to show you the pictures, but it's getting too hard to manage here. So. And he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk and swing from her branches and eat apples. And they would play hide and go seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much. And the tree was happy. But time went by, and the boy grew older. And the tree was often alone. Then one day the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and eat my apples and play in my shade and be happy." "I'm too big to climb and play," said the boy. "I want to buy things and have fun. I want some money. Can you give me some money?" "I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I have no money. I only have leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city. Then you'll have money and you will be happy." And so the boy climbed up the tree and gathered her apples and carried them away. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time. And the tree was sad. And then one day the boy came back and the tree shook with joy. And she said, "Come, boy, climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and be happy." "I'm too busy to climb trees," said the boy. "I want a house to keep me warm," he said. I want a wife and I want children. So I need a house. Can you give me a house?" "I have no house," said the tree. The forest is my house, but you can cut off my branches and build a house, then you will be happy." And so the boy cut off her branches and carried them away to build his house. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time, and when he came back, the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. "Come, boy," she whispered. "Come and play." I'm too old and sad to play," said the boy. "I want a boat that will take me far away from here. Can you give me a boat?" "Cut down my trunk and make a boat," said the tree. "Then you can sail away and be happy." And so the boy cut down her trunk and made a boat and sailed away, and the tree was happy. But not really. And after a long time, the boy came back again. "I'm sorry, boy," said the tree, "but I now have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone. My teeth are too weak for apples," said the boy. "My branches are gone," said the tree. "You cannot swing on them. I'm too old to swing on branches," said the boy. "My trunk is gone," said the tree. "You cannot climb. I am too tired to climb," said the boy. "I'm sorry," said the tree. I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I'm just an old stump. I'm sorry." "I don't need very much now," said the boy. "Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I'm very tired." "Well," said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could, "well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down. Sit down and rest." And the boy did, and the tree was happy. The end. You might be interested or possibly surprised to find out that in the literary world, there is actually a great debate over whether The Giving Tree is a good book for children. Ever since the book was published, it's generated controversy over the intended message of the book, on whether the tree is selfless or merely self-sacrificing, and whether the boy is selfish or reasonable in his demands of the tree. Some actually say that it teaches children to give to the point of being taken advantage of. Now, I have to say, in the argument of whether the tree is being taken advantage of, I am in the corner of Bart Simpson. Yeah, I'll explain. If you've ever watched episodes of The Simpsons, one of the running gags that it always starts with is you see Bart in the schoolroom writing lines on the board. Bart is staying after school writing lines on one of the episodes, and what he has to write, as I said, changes every episode. In this one particular one of the lines on the chalkboard that he was writing over and over again was, "The giving tree was not a chump." Like I said, I'm with Bart on this one. To help understand why, I'd like to share a part of an article written quite a few years ago by a very famous non-Christian. The article is about, quote, sowing bountifully, and I'd like to share these words with you, and I'll tell you a little bit later who it is that wrote it. He begins saying, "A couple of years ago, I found out what 'you can't take it with you' means. I found out while I was lying in a ditch on the side of a country road covered with mud and blood and with the tibia of my right leg poking out the side of my jeans like a branch of a tree taken down in a thunderstorm. I had my MasterCard in my wallet, but when you're in a ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. We come in naked and broke. We may be dressed when we go out, but we're just as broke. Warren Buffett, going out broke. Bill Gates, going out broke. Tom Hanks, going out broke. Stephen King, broke. Not a crying dime. All the money you can earn, and all the stocks," he says, "all the stocks that you buy, all the mutual funds that you trade, all of that is mostly smoke and mirrors. It's still going to be quarter past getting late, whether you tell the time on a Timex or a Rolex. So, I want you to consider," he said, "I want you to consider making your life one long gift to others. And why not? Why not? All you have to do is, all that you already have is on loan. All that lasts is what you pass on. Now, imagine," he says, "imagine a nice little backyard surrounded by a board fence. Dad, pleasant fella, little plumps tending the barbecue. Mom and the kids are sitting at the picnic table, fried chicken, coleslaw, potato salad, chocolate cake for dessert. And standing around them on the outside of the fence looking in are emaciated men and women, starving children. They are silent. They only watch. The family at the picnic," he says, "is us. That backyard is America, and those hungry people on the other side of the fence watching us sit down to eat include far too much of the rest of the world. Asia and the subcontinent, countries in Central Europe where people live on the edge from one harvest to the next. South America where they're burning down the rainforest. And most of all, Africa where AIDS is pandemic and starvation is a fact of life. It's not a pretty picture, but we have the power to help, the power to change, and why should we refuse? Because we're going to take it with us? Please. Giving isn't about the receiver or the gift, but the giver. It's for the giver. A life of giving, not just money, but time and spirit, repays. It helps us remember that we may be going out broke, but right now we're doing okay. Right now we have the power to do good to do a great good for others and for ourselves. So I ask you, he says, I ask you to begin giving and to continue as you begin. I think you'll find that in the end that you got far more than you ever had and did more good than you ever dreamed. Any guesses who might have written that? It is Stephen King. Very good. Absolutely. No one can accuse King of being a Christian, but he makes an impassioned and perceptive argument for giving. You don't need a Christian worldview to understand that giving connects us with something larger than our limited lives here on earth. It's also part of why I still love the Giving Tree despite all of the controversy. I actually like the way that Ben Jackson, who's a professor of religious studies at Stanford University, put it in regards to what's going on in the Giving Tree. This is what he says. Is this a sad tale? Well, it is in the same way that life is depressing. We're all needy, and if we are lucky and any good, we grow up using others and getting used up. Tears fall in our lives like leaves fall from a tree. Our finitude is not something to be regretted or despised. However, it is what makes giving and receiving possible. Or as the novelist Stephen King said, a life of giving, not just money, but time and spirit, repays. It helps us remember that we may be going out broke, but for right now, we're doing okay. Right now, we have the power to do great good for others and for ourselves. So, he says, I ask you to begin giving.
Hello? Okay. I'm David. Last time I checked. And it seemed to me there's a dimension of the book that the author missed. I mean, the tree was still speaking to the boy, right? Meant the tree was still alive. So the tree could have regrown itself. So there's a dimension. So
yeah.
You missed it because now you could tell the congregation, if you give, if you're still alive, you can, it'll come back and you can give some more.
I guess that's very true.
How's that?
Other thoughts?
I'm Sue. For anyone else who is up at 6 o'clock on Sunday mornings and listens to On Being with Krista Tippett or listens to her podcast later, this morning was especially wonderful and part of a program looking at how do we live together after this election. But one of the guests that she was interviewing is a Muslim man, and his name was Ibo, or I think it was, and he's head of the largest youth interfaith organization. And she always asked, what brought you to this point? And he said that he talked about reading the work of Dorothy Day and visiting one of her the house in Chicago that she started, the settlement house, and he said it felt like a community, not like a social service agency. And in reading her work, she said, and she was very self-effacing, didn't call attention to herself, and said, if you're a Christian, this is something you do. This is just what you do.
Right.
And a couple years later, he was back visiting his mother in I'm not sure what country, and it was a large home. And he said there was a woman who clearly wasn't one of the friends gathered that he knew of and wasn't part of the staff. And he said, does this woman belong here? And his mother said, yes, this is someone that the imam from the mosque asked us to help. And she then brought out a shoebox with 50 photos of women that she had taken in over the years and said, and the man didn't know about all of this. And he said, his mother said, if you're Muslim, this is just what you do. And it somehow seems appropriate.
Yeah, I agree.
And go back and listen to the podcast because it's an antidote to this election, the media.
Are there others who would like to share or have thoughts? Yes. Oh.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning. I'm Elsie. For me, this whole thing about giving can get very complicated. And as I was thinking, part of what was interesting is that the tree asks the boy, what do you want? And the boy tells the tree, and the tree has an option to do it or not, and the tree chooses to do it. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of the giving that we do, we don't ask people what they want. We're going to go fix them or save them. So even though we may be troubled by some of the choices that the tree makes, the tree asks and the boy says what he wants. So for me, a lot of this is how to think about what is giving, what is helping. You know, that it can all get quite complicated for me, and how much are we really paying attention? How much do we understand? A lot of the intervening that has been done for the last hundreds of years, particularly when we intervene with groups of people we consider less evolved or not as good as we are, turn out to be unhelpful.
I'd also point out one of the other it's actually a really complex story, as simple as it is. One of the things that I find striking about it is that the tree's always happy. And the tree isn't caught up in gathering stuff. The boy's always gathering stuff, but always comes back because he's never happy. He's never satisfied. It's the character that's handing out or giving that seems to be the happiest in this situation. For what it's worth, Shel Silverstein said, when asked about all this controversy, said that he doesn't understand it. It's simply a story about a tree and a boy, and the ending's a little sad. That's his perspective on it. And he said that consistently. Never changed the story on that. That it was both simply a story about a tree and a boy, and the ending's a little bit sad. Are there others?
Hi, I'm Laura. This story made me think of how that love is irrational. And that's what story allows us to participate in. Just this being in what is the emotion I feel through the story. And, you know, to me, that's what here at this gathering is about, learning to live with a non-linear way so that we could participate in the love that's all around us. And it's what music does. It allows you to participate in a non-linear process, and that's why we love it so much. We humans are really stuck in a linear way of understanding things, and that's probably why we see either or instead of adjust. Mm-hmm. If you look at Walt's fingers and him flinging that paper across to the next sheet of music, he's adjusting. His fingers are adjusting. And I think that's where we humans are supposed to live, in a more fluid way, where we're experiencing our emotion first and foremost. That's what leads us to the next step.